Well, during the primaries, Republican Mitt Romney said illegal immigrants should self-deport. President Obama's administration, aiming to show a practical get-tough policy on immigration, has deported nearly 400,000 every year after they've committed some infraction, a record, according to the Department of Homeland Security. But the Obama numbers are being criticized by Republicans who say they count deportees under the Alien Transfer Exit Program. These are men who are brought hundreds of miles away from their homes, but many Republicans say often later sneak back in and are still counted. Well, the program raises another question. Many of these deportees are being thrown into Mexico's drug wars. Los Angeles Times reporter Richard Morosi's new terrific series is called Without a Country. He joins us from KPBS in San Diego. And Richard, you went to the towns where these deportees are being sent. Start with Matamoros in northeastern Mexico. It's on the border with Texaco, about 1,500 miles from Southern California, where the men you were with were first picked up. Why are they being taken all the way over to Texas?
Well, it's part of a strategy by U.S. immigration authorities to, in part, make it more difficult for them to get back in the country. So they've got this program called the Alien Transfer Exit Program. They're put on planes and flown across to Harlingen, Texas, where they're put on buses and then deported into Mexico through the northeastern state of Tamaulipas. Some of those cities include Matamoros, Reynosa, and Nuevo Laredo, which are some of the most fiercely contested battlegrounds in Mexico's drug war.
Well, and the idea, it seems, is that they are met when they reach these Mexican towns by Grupo Beta. It's a Mexican migrant safety force. And as you tell the story, agents promise these men that they will come back and get them and put them on buses to go further to their hometowns. But that doesn't happen. What happens to many of these detainees in these towns?
They're like walking ATM machines. These towns are overrun by criminal gangs. And they view these deportees from the U.S. as ways to make a lot of money. They typically will kidnap them, and then they'll try and extort money from folks that are in the U.S. because a lot of these people have lived many years in the United States, and they have access to people who can send money for their release.
You paint a picture of a group of them walking. All I could think of was that scene from Mary Tyler Moore, where the staff of Mary Tyler Moore at the end is sort of walking in a group huddle. That was funny. This sounds frightening, where this group of men is sort of walking together in a huddle late at night with their meager possessions having been dropped off in this town. They are petrified.
A lot of deported folks ask not to be deported into this area because they know that the criminal gangs view them as targets. So what they do is they stick together, they huddle up, and then they try and get around town kind of in a herd, right? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't keep criminal gangs from still targeting them, you know, because they pull up in convoys with armed men and they can just whisk them away at a moment's notice.
Go right into shelters, board buses, and pull them off buses.
There's a migrant shelter in Matamoros where armed gunmen have gone repeatedly. In December, there was a mass kidnapping there of 15 men. So some of these folks aren't just held for ransom. They give them recruiting pitches to join the criminal gangs. And a lot of these folks arrive penniless, and they're offered food, they're offered clothing, weapons. More than a few do join the ranks.
In a way, it makes no sense. Why would you deport people? And they're being deported because they've had some kind of legal infraction, right? They've a drunk driving charge or something like that?
A lot of these guys are hardcore criminals. They come directly from U.S. prisons and are deported. Then there are folks who have criminal misdemeanors. A lot of them are drunk driving related. Sometimes there's domestic violence involved, but many of them aren't violent criminals. And some folks say this policy is kind of counterproductive to U.S. and Mexico interests because a lot of them are being recruited into the gangs that are causing a lot of the insecurity on the border.
Sure, it would seem counterintuitive. So why is it happening? I mean, you know, on the side of the people who are deported, many of them tell you they blame themselves for being in the U.S. and then messing up. And as one said to you, the U.S. opens its doors and we close them on ourselves. So they blame themselves for causing the infraction that gets them deported. But what's wrong with the system and the government that would think that it makes sense to put people right back in the hands of gangs in Mexico?
They're trying to deport a certain amount of people every year, and that's about 400,000. And in part, ironically, why they're sending so many people to Tamaulipas is in response to a Mexican government's request to stop sending people to the battle-torn city of Ciudad Juarez. So they were kind of honoring that request by the Mexican government, but that only increased flows to Tamaulipas, which in many ways is more dangerous for migrants. Another thing is there's not much news that gets out of this area. They kidnap lots of journalists in this area. So the cartel-related violence and news doesn't get out. So it's really kind of a black hole of information there.
The journalists have been killed. I think you said 15 in your article. The police force is disbanded. This is a black hole would be a good way to describe it.
It does make headlines, though, sometimes. 2 years ago, this was the place where 72 migrants were massacred and where there were mass graves with about 200 more migrants found. And people think there are a lot more mass graves out there, you know, in these rural areas where really people don't go anymore.
Yeah. Well, you report last year the number of deportees sent to the cities of Matamoros, which we were just talking about, Reynoso and Nuevo Laredo, jumped fivefold from 2006 to more than 120,000 people. We know that there have been more than a million illegal immigrants deported from the U.S. since 2008. So the U.S. government might say, well, only 120,000 are going to this area. Where are the others going?
They'll send some to the Mexican states of Sonora, which borders Arizona. Many go to cities like Tijuana, Mexicali, which are considerably safer than places like Tamaulipas. They were trying to get off the ground also a system of flights directly to Mexico City. But there are signs that neither government is really committed to this.
And is that cost? Because we know it's being scaled back.
It could be budgetary. Maybe on the Mexican side, it's also political because these folks are stigmatized in Mexico. They're all seen as being criminals. Seeing a large influx of these folks into Mexico City might create some kind of headaches for politicians in Mexico City.
Well, meanwhile, there's sort of a cottage industry springing up to deal with these deportees as they come back across the border, including an activist, sounds like with a tremendous heart, who bought a decrepit old hotel in Mexicali and turned it into the hotel for deported migrants.
This activist, Sergio Tamay, works downtown. He has a little candy store there, and he saw lots more and more people just hanging out in the streets, deported in the middle of the night with nowhere to go. So he thought, hey, I'm going to do something about it. And he rented this collapsed old hotel, and there were no lights, no electricity, no toilets, but he opened the doors, and people just started sleeping on the floors anywhere they could. Migrant shelters have always existed on the border, but none really caters to the unique needs of this population of deported people. It's generally folks coming north that used migrant shelters, but now there's just as many, if not more, people going south. And these people are deported sometimes in the middle of the night. They have specific needs that weren't being met by the existing migrant shelters.
Well, and they're hardly being met by this hotel. The city donated water and electricity, but it's pretty awful. Richard Morosi of the Los Angeles Times tracked deportees from the U.S., found many being thrown into these Mexican border towns. Some readers responded, who cares? They were illegal. We'll ask Richard about that in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Los Angeles Times reporter Richard Morosi. He tracked illegal immigrants deported from the U.S. There have been more than a million deported since 2008, and thousands of them are being sent to some of the most dangerous areas of Mexico, where they are then preyed upon by drug cartels. And Richard, you met some of the deportees at this sort of migrant hotel we were talking about in Mexicali, Mexico. There's a sushi chef from Anaheim, someone who swept the stands at Soldier Field in Chicago, a pig farmer from South Dakota, a Hollywood High graduate who helped design movie sets, a janitor from Philadelphia. These were people in the U.S. illegally, picked up for largely minor, sometimes traffic infractions, deported and sent to these violent areas they had no preparation for. Tell us more.
These people were part of the American experience, and a lot of them, you know, maybe were caught drunk driving or without a license, and the next day they end up in this broken-down old hotel in Mexicali with really nowhere to go. And when you go through that place, it has a feel of a kind of a displaced person camp because people are calling, trying to arrange travel, trying to get money wired to them, trying to get in touch with loved ones. They still have a home sometimes in the U.S. There's bills to pay. One man I met, his wife was in Riverside County giving birth to his fourth daughter. So, you know, he was all broken up because he couldn't be there. So you really meet a broad cross-section of people who, you know, lives in some cases for decades in the United States. Some of these folks are hardcore criminals. They come directly from prisons into these areas. They're scary folks. They start victimizing their fellow migrants through smuggling schemes or kidnapping schemes.
Well, you speak to a man who had just been deported a year ago. He had a drunk driving offense, and now he's extorting $500 apiece from the deportees who are coming in. He set up a gang that demands payment for protection.
Yeah, some of these guys are very scary characters. They go to work for the cartels looking for kidnap targets within the ranks of the deportees because these people aren't coming from the South. They generally have access to more money than migrants coming north into the United States. They have bank accounts. They can cough up $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 within a day or two. So they are walking ATM machines for these people.
Well, you made videotape at the hotel of deported migrants. Here's a deportee talking on the telephone to his daughter.
Hi, Daddy.
Guess what? Daddy loves you so much, Mama.
He loves you too.
I love you too, Mama, and I miss you big time.
Richard, you said a couple of times a lot of people don't really care what happens to deportees because they are in the country, in the U.S., illegally. And we asked you why this is happening. One of the reasons you note is that the U.S. does want to send a signal that it's not a great idea to be an illegal immigrant in the U.S. You could end up in one of these terrible places when you're deported. What would you say to people who say that it is not the U.S.'s problem what happens to these people who were illegal once they go back into Mexico?
Some folks say that, you know, for years the U.S. tolerated these folks here. When times were good, they kept the price of goods and services down for the rest of us. And when the economy turned, it was time to, you know, get rid of a lot of these folks, or there was like increased pressure to do something with this population. And now the sense is they're just being cast off and we don't need them. The U.S. is well within its rights to deport these folks, but even the U.S. government admits that they try to do so in a humane manner. And so, advocates for these folks raise questions about whether this is a humane manner. They say, well, you can deport them, but why are you deporting them into this area where there's limited government control?
And as we said earlier, it's counterproductive, too, if they go into gangs. By the way, the picture you paint is just, it's really, well, it's sort of a, what's the word you come up with for it? It's sort of a purgatory. I mean, it's really the definition of purgatory.
They're really in a state of limbo. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to contact. I ran across one boy, teenager. He was brought to the United States when he was 3 years old, going to work to Pizza Hut. Cop pulled him over for a busted taillight. He didn't have a driver's license. He was deported. You know, this teenager didn't know anyone in Mexico. He did speak the language, but culturally, he's thoroughly American. He was so desperate to get back in the United States. I met him in Nogales, Mexico, and his scheme was to try and get back into the United States holding on to the undercarriage of a train, which was extremely dangerous. He did cross the border one time, but a drug-sniffing dog sniffed him out. He was deported again, and he kept trying to get back into the country.
And I'm just wondering, what are you hearing from readers? I mean, I'm wondering if somebody read one of your articles and sees that the fellow who grilled the pricey seafood in a tiki-themed restaurant on the Pacific Coast Highway, recognizes, oh, I know that guy, I know that place, and reads now that he's in this hellish place across the border. He had a drunk driving charge and was kicked out of the country, or that a busboy at the Shanghai Grill in Beverly Hills is with him. What do you hear from readers?
I don't know how representative the sampling is we get in our comments, because I get a lot of hate comments. But I think a lot of folks realize, you know, you can have increased immigration enforcement and still feel sympathy or care that these folks are treated in a humane manner when they are deported, you know? It's funny, when you meet these guys, like the guy who worked in the restaurants, the tiki-themed restaurant in Laguna Beach, you know, he was in contact with his boss. You know, a lot of these people are in contact with their bosses across the border, and the bosses are asking them, hey, when are you coming back? You know,
as if he's on vacation, right?
It's the U.S.-based employers who are, you know, often the first people they call to explain, gee, sorry, I couldn't show up for work today. I got deported. And then the bosses are just, you know, very eager to get them back.
But meanwhile, they may not even survive. Richard Morosi of the Los Angeles Times. We'll link you to his terrific reporting. as he followed some deportees across the border into Mexico. We'll link it here at now.org. Richard, thanks so much for speaking to us about it.
Thanks, Robin.
And by the way, Richard says not all the people deported to Mexico are Mexican, but they came into the U.S. through Mexico. Now, as we said, some Republicans have been critical of this ATEP program that sends deportees hundreds of miles away because they say they sneak back in. But it's a program started by President Bush. And if they are caught crossing again, the deportees are sent even further into Mexico. We'd love to hear your thoughts, especially our listeners in Southern California. Go to hereandnow.org, on Twitter at hereandnow, at hereandnowrobin, or at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Is this the solution? Love to hear from you. Latest news is next, here and now.